Today, we hang out with Hilary Fairclough, who is a UK homeopath. She is the author of The Triad Method, which is a story about the work she did in Botswana, where she established the Maon Homeopathy Project. It's a registered charity, and together with the 40 volunteer homeopaths she recruited over 15 years, they treated thousands of people for AIDS, HIV, and many other conditions. Hilary also teaches at the River School of Homeopathy, which you can learn more about at www.riverschoolofhomeopathy.org. I highly recommend getting a copy of Hilary's book, The Triad Method. I really enjoyed reading it. I couldn't put it down. You can get in touch with Hilary at www.hilaryfairclough.com or email info@hilaryfairclough.com. That's HilaryFairclough. I hope you enjoy the episode. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, I am excited to introduce our lovely guest, Hilary Fairclough from the UK. Welcome to the show, Hilary.
Thank you. It's fantastic to be here.
Thank you for coming on. And also thank you for sending me a copy of your book. Of all the authors I've had on my show, you're one of only like a couple who have sent me copies of your book. So I really appreciate it. And I was so grateful. Thank you so much. I mean, it's so generous of you, and sent it all the way from the UK, and it arrived last week, and I've had a chance to read through it. And all I can say is, wow, just absolutely amazing. The book is called The Triad Method. And we're going to go into that today, and your work in Africa, the River School, homeopathy, your project that you've got going, and so much more. But all my guests, at the start, I asked them, how were you first introduced to homeopathy?
Oh, okay. So I had a long-standing grief. I was 30, and I tried lots of different complementary medicines. I tried counselling. Nothing had really worked. And my partner said, oh, why don't you go and see a homeopath? And I was quite sceptical about homeopathy at that point, as lots of people are. But I was quite desperate, so I went along to see this homeopath. And I was just really struck by the consultation, that it was so holistic. It was just about everything about me. And I, at the end of the consultation, she gave me Ignatia 200. Mm. And the next day, I felt like a different person, like the grief had just completely lifted. And I knew it was the remedy as much as the talking, because I told my story before, and I'd never felt like that the next day. So that was the beginning of it. I just thought, I have to know more about this amazing experience, how it happened. And that's what led me to train to be a homeopath.
Amazing. Ignatia is an incredible remedy. When I did the like little homeopathy at home type introduction courses, I say, you know, the remedies are like your friends and da da da. But I've never really had an Ignatia moment until we had a grief in the family a few years ago. And I took Ignatia for the first time ever. And I had that same, it was such a profound feeling. And I it doesn't suppress the grief. I just explained it as it made me just know that everything's going to be okay. Yes. And then from then on, Ignatia has been my friend. Like, I feel like, oh, we've hung out now. We know each other now.
I think I was in stuck grief, and that's why the Ignatia work. I think obviously grief is a really important emotion and life experience, and we have to go through it. But I was in a very stuck place. So the Ignatia really, really helped me. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Now you have to tell us, you are such a beautiful writer. I really loved this book, and I really like that your partner is a publisher. So I can imagine that.
Yes.
I hope they like pushed you
along. She really helped me write
it. Yeah. I was wondering that when I saw that she's a publisher. I was like, I wonder if they, it's a teamwork at the end of the day. Tell us a little bit about, and you share this in your book, but how did you end up in Botswana and for so long?
Yes, it was just an accident, a magical accident, I think, that my partner Philippa came home from work one day and said she'd been asked to go to edit a book in the Okavango Delta in Botswana. I didn't know where the Okavango, I'd never heard of the Okavango Delta. I didn't even know where Botswana was. So we got out a map and I looked at it and I thought, oh, wow, if you're going there, Philippa, I'm coming too. And so we just went. We went for a week, and Philippa was working with some teenagers, actually, English teenagers who were living with their mum in the bush in the Lyme research camp. And they had a contract to write a book about their experience growing up in the bush. So we had this absolutely incredible week, and Philippa would work with the teenagers on their book, and I would go out in the four-wheel drive and sit with the lions and talk to Kate, their mother, about homeopathy in Botswana and the AIDS crisis there. And that's where the idea came from, a clinic. It was Kate who said to me, you need to set up a clinic here. And I just thought, oh yeah, great idea, but that's what other people do. but 2 years later, I went back.
You have to tell the elephant story as well.
Oh, the elephant story. Yeah, that was almost the first night Philippa and I were in the tents asleep, and there was this noise outside, a very loud noise outside our tent. We both sat up in bed and looked out, and there was an elephant looking at us. It was just one of those terrifying and moving moments in equal measure, really. And we just looked at the elephant, and the elephant looked at us, and eventually the elephant went away. And then the elephant came back the next night and the night after. And we had these nightly encounters with the elephant. And our hosts, Kate and Peter, were concerned about it because it was unusual. So they put it in another tent, and the elephant came to that tent as well. And so I just took it as a sign that I was meant to be doing something in Botswana, a spiritual, something about the spirit of Botswana speaking to me, saying you're needed here. And the elephant has stayed as a creature of deep importance for me, really, throughout the experience. Yeah.
Amazing.
Often I felt very small when I was doing the project. Like, it was so big, the pandemic, and the suffering was so huge, and it was just me and my small case of remedies. And I'd think about myself in the tent and the elephant. But I think the whole project was about trust and learning and having courage and just doing what you think you can do and helping, actually. Yeah.
Can you just tell our listeners about this? I mean, just tell them about how I just feel like I've been on this journey after finished reading your book. So I just want to take our listeners on this journey as well of what then eventuated out of this initial trip to Botswana. And that that was in 2002, 2003.
When I went,
yes. Okay. Yeah. So just tell her, I just feel after having finished reading your book, I feel like I've been on this journey with you. So I'm still on a high after I finished reading it. Can you take our listeners on this journey as well and just tell them about what eventuated after this first visit?
Right. So when we went back in 2002, Kate, from the Lion Research Camp, she introduced us to some key people in Maun. And one of them was Stella, who ran the first HIV and AIDS support group at the Maun Counselling Centre. And immediately people were interested. People were desperate and people were interested in anything that might help with their health. And I needed to give a talk to the Maun Counselling Centre, which was, again, a scary thing. It was all the users, the staff, the elders. And people asked incredibly searching questions. I remember the first question that was asked was, is homeopathy an art or a science? And I just thought, gosh, that went straight to the heart of what we do, because obviously what we do is both. And the next question they asked was, are you being sponsored by a pharmaceutical company? Ah. So people were really on it. And I thought, oh, these people are amazing. They've got insight into what really matters and what's important. I thought, I can really work here. So we started to develop partnerships with local organisations. Partnership was really big in the project. And the local organisations, like the Maun Counselling Centre, would give us a room to practice. They provide an interpreter and we'd do the clinics for free. And that's what we started to do. And word spread and it just got bigger and bigger. We did more and more clinics with more and more local agencies. We started an outreach program. We traveled to the villages because so many people couldn't afford to come into town. So meanwhile, I'd set up a charity I was going backwards and forwards, UK to Maun. I set up a charity to raise money. I started recruiting volunteers. So the clinics became full-time and permanent in 2004. And they carried on for 15 years. Yes. And at the end of that, we've trained local people to to become homeopaths. So they took over the running of the Kinks.
I was so glad to. I hope one day the story gets turned into a documentary or like a movie or something like that. I was just thinking, who do you think would play you in the movie? Have you got an actress in mind?
Oh, I'd love Sigourney Weaver. Oh, would do similar hair.
She's great. But wouldn't that be a great movie? Because that's what I felt like when I read this. It felt almost like a movie. Like it felt, you know, it was like such a good vibe story. And then at the end that you actually were able to leave that in the hands of the locals. And I was just chatting with Marcus Fernandez last night on our Chin Wag session that we're doing for the podcast. And he was saying there's this project in Gambia, I think. And their next job now is to try and train up some of the local people to run the project. And I mean, that is just the best. If you can actually get the locals to take charge of their community's health, that really is the best way. That's the most sustainable way to do it. Instead of the Westerners coming in and being the saviors, that they are actually taking charge of it themselves and taking ownership of it. And nobody knows their own people like they do. So that's
exactly
so incredible that you could do that.
That was always my dream. Well, I have to say it's been partially successful. I'd like to say that all three homeopaths are practicing now, the ones who've trained. They're not. No. The trouble is that two of them are. Mm. But the trouble is being a homeopath, it's not just about being a homeopath. You have to be an entrepreneur. You have to be a business person. So you have to be a manager. There's so many skills that we need. And it's a big ask, isn't it?
They're the first three homeopaths in Botswana. So that's a pretty huge role to take, a huge responsibility to take on.
And I think two of them would have really loved me just to continue fundraising and employ them forever and ever. But I just knew that that wasn't right. I just didn't want to be that Western rescuer like you talk about. I wanted it to be about partnership and sustainability as much as possible. I think we were partially successful, but I think you have to be realistic in a way that the people you need to find have to have so many skills, it's hard to find that. Yeah.
Very hard to find that, especially in a place like Botswana where maybe they might not have had all the opportunities. And
two of our trainees didn't have higher education at all. One of our trainees, Irene, did, and she's the one who's really making the biggest headway in terms of still practicing, which is great.
Yes. You said something interesting in the book about the vital force and how that concept was a bit, they saw it in a different way. Is that maybe something you can explain?
Yes, there was a moment with Wasanapi, one of our trainees, and I was doing a teaching session with him about the vital force. He was writing an essay. And I'd drawn a diagram that said, here's the vital force in the body, and here's outside of the maintaining causes of ill health, the exciting causes of ill health, the effects, the vital force in the inside the person. And he looked at my diagram and he said, oh, he said, so that's where the vital force is. And I thought, oh, haven't we taught Wasanapi anything? He doesn't know where the vital force is. But this stayed with me, this experience. And I went away and I read about African understanding of health and spirituality.
Hi, homies. I just want to take a quick moment to ask for your help. My mum works really hard to create great content for you to enjoy. So if you found value from this podcast, please consider donating to keep the Homeopathy Hangout podcast going. You can do this by visiting www.eugeniekruger.com and click the donate button at the top. Every donation of $10 or more will receive a shout out on a future episode. Thanks.
And healing. And I understood that in Africa, there is no separation. So if the vital force is everywhere, energy is everywhere. It's not just inside us. There's true connectedness. And I think this is one reason why homeopathy works so profoundly and amazingly in Botswana, that there is that mind-body separation that we have in more developed countries doesn't exist in the same way in Botswana, that people are absolutely connected spiritually and really come from the heart. I feel that it was a really heart-centered practice in Botswana and an acceptance that we're all connected. Mm. Everything is connected. And that was a very beautiful context to work in. And I think the volunteers felt that as well. We recruited over 40 volunteers over the 15 years.
Wow.
And we had, when we closed down the project and we handed it over to the local homeopaths. We had a big leaving party and in the UK, and most of the volunteers came, and they all said it was the most incredible experience of their life being in Botswana and running the clinics. It was very special. Yeah. I think we all had a lot of healing as well, ourselves, as well as being vehicles for healing for the community as well.
I love that you were honest about that in the book as well, when you're talking about like the miasms at play, and maybe like as a homeopath have a bit of a carcinosa layer of wanting to save people and all that, and like being aware of that and being aware of the reasons of why you're doing what you're doing, I think is very important as well. That's really critical. And reading the success stories in your book, that was so powerful, especially one of them where the gentleman was expected to be on his deathbed. You gave him some remedies, and 2 weeks later he comes walking up the road to greet you. And then I think it must be so satisfying treating these cases that have not been so massively suppressed by pharmaceutical medication. Obviously, many of them are on antiretroviral drugs. And I think you said at one stage, 35% of the population of Botswana were HIV positive. So they have the ARVs, and you've had huge success with using homeopathy alongside the ARVs, but they wouldn't have had loads of steroid creams and antibiotics and all sorts of suppressive medications, antidepressants, antipsychotics, anti this and that and the next thing. So when you're giving them a homeopathic remedy, that vital force is still so strong. And also the symptoms are presented so much clearer, because if you have a client on antidepressants or this or that, the next thing, you don't really know what symptoms are theirs and what is a side effect of the drug. Or if they're on antihypertensives, is it actually this chronic cough that they have? Is that actually a side effect of the heart medication that they're on? Or is that actually their own true symptom? It can be so hard to know what's going on, but you must have such a clearer symptom picture and stronger vital force to work with. So that must be quite satisfying.
Absolutely. And that was certainly especially true the first few years we were practicing, when the antiretroviral medication program hadn't been rolled out in Botswana. So it was very, very acute.
Oh, interesting.
So people were coming with meningitis, TB, cancers, all sorts of illnesses associated with HIV and AIDS, and people were so it was life and death. It was life and death. And sometimes you gave the remedy thinking perhaps someone was going to die, like the man you talked about, and they would have a miraculous recovery. And that was that person's vital force was strong enough to respond to the remedies. And then other cases you'd give, and someone would die peacefully with the help of the remedies. And obviously, those people had a less strong vital force. And then, so it was an incredible moment and privilege at that time to be trusted. We were trusted, which I thought was incredible, because we were outsiders. We were white outsiders. But I think there was so much stigma and shame around HIV at that time, that being outsiders, we were a safe place. And maybe we were an important bridge to healing, because it was very hard often for people to even tell their friends, family and community they were HIV positive, because the stigma was so strong. And then the ARV program was introduced by the government, and most people went on to the ARV medication. It was life-saving. And I wondered whether our job was done. But what happened was people started to come, still come to the clinics with side effects, like you're talking about, the side effects. And we realized that homeopathy could be amazing as a complementary medicine and to help people tolerate their ARVs. And often people would come and they were really sick from the ARVs. And by giving the remedies such as Nux Vomica or Sulphur or China, if they were dehydrated, it would turn it around quite remarkably, so that they could actually do both. They could stay on the ARVs and have homeopathy to support them, to keep them well. But at that point, I felt HIV was becoming more of a chronic disease and people were more suppressed with medication. But still, I do believe homeopathy can get through medication and can be really powerful alongside, as it can be in our Western practices with all our complex chronic health cases.
And talk to us a little bit about the triad method. What is it? What inspired you to do that? And is that something that we can use in our everyday clinics as well, or is it only applicable to Africa? So I'll just throw that question out there and you can just tell us all about triad method.
Great. So I was trained as a classical homeopath, and I was trained that you search for the similinum and that's your job. And if you don't get it, you've failed.
Did their training too.
And I think that's a bit of a blessing and a curse, because classical homeopathy is incredible when you get it, but it can be quite a burden if you don't. And I was developing my intuition when I started in practice in the UK. And I had a very amazing friend who was psychic. And I would talk with her a lot. And she said, Hilary, you need to be repeating your remedies and doing more than one remedy. And I was going, you can't do that. She said, yes, you can. And I trusted her and I trusted my own intuition. So I started to repeat remedies more and alternate them. And I got much better results. So that was prior to going to Botswana. When I got to Botswana, I thought, wow, people are really sick. I can't imagine just giving one remedy here. And I started to prescribe, seeing miasmatic pictures. I was seeing acute remedies. I was seeing emotional distress, huge bereavement and grief and fear and shock, all those things. And I started to just prescribe remedies I saw, really. It didn't feel like it had any structure. And then an amazing homeopath came to work with me, and he came from Australia, actually, in Melbourne, Ben Gadd. He was a teacher in a homeopathic school in Melbourne. And he watched me work, and he said one night, Hilary, you've got a method. And I said, I don't think so. And he said, yes, you have. And so we talked about it, and I realized that I did have a structure in my head of giving three remedies, one to address the really acute presentation, one to address the bigger picture, which I call the fundamental, which is more similar to the classical constitutional or similimum, and also add in nosos to address the miasmatic, the deep miasmatic nature of the chronic disease. And I would give one remedy. I wouldn't give one and wait. I wasn't able to do that in Botswana. It was urgent. So I'd give the acute remedy, say, every Monday for 4 weeks, the fundamental remedy every Wednesday for 4 weeks, and the miasmatic nosode every Friday for 4 weeks. And that was my structure. And it worked, or it seemed to work. And I was really interested in that it was okay to alternate, it was okay to repeat. And people would come back and they'd say, oh, I was really sick after the first remedy. I vomited, but it all came out and then I felt better. And they continued to repeat the remedies and there were no further aggravations at all. Mm. And so I had very few, hardly any reports of aggravations or proving symptoms or anything like that. And I felt that the structure held people and supported their healing in a profound way. And I used the method here in the UK, especially for chronic complex disease that you've been talking about, when people are on medication, when there's pathology, there's stuckness on a deep level, that the triad method can really help. More as it became less acute, the manifestation, I changed the naming of the acute layer to lesional, which was more about where the pathology was stuck. So, for example, it could be flare-ups of arthritis, or it could be a cancer pain, or it could be recurring asthma, something like that, so that I would give a remedy for that lesional level, really where the vital force was struggling most, where it's usually the presenting complaint, and do a small repertorization of just those symptoms of arthritis. So it might be rust tox, obviously, it might be bryonia. And then maybe there's lots of grief in the case. So the fundamental remedy might be natrum ure or causticum. And then you've got the miasm. If it's arthritis, it might be mesirinum, depending on the themes of the case.
And then you wouldn't give them all together at the same time. You would actually spread them out. So like a Monday.
Okay. Yeah. So my usual style is to do one remedy a week on a different day of the week. Yeah, alternating, repeating. And it's all the volunteers used in Botswana used the methods. I recruited homeopaths from classical backgrounds, from more practical prescribing backgrounds, but we all shared the methods and that gave continuity. And I felt everyone, nearly everyone, was really comfortable with it. There was one or two people who were very classical and didn't like it very much.
They're missing out because I do similar things where I'll have like an endocrine circuit and like a detox remedy and whatever. And you just get better results. And you can see this, you can see the different layers clearly. Like as a homeopath, there's intention behind why you're prescribing what you're prescribing. And I think that in itself has magic in it. And our vital force is so smart. The body knows what to do with that remedy. I don't think it gets confused or anything like that. I think we give our vital force not enough credit for how smart it is. It knows what to do with this energy medicine. And if it doesn't need it, it's not going to do anything with it. So.
Exactly. Mm. And the vital force shows us what it needs. So the vital force can show us more than one remedy picture if we can see it. And what you mentioned there, I really agree with as well, which is about intention and holding the space for clients. It's not just about the remedy. I think as homeopaths, we can be a bit fixated about the remedies. And of course, that's really important. But also the healing space we provide, that trust, that confidentiality, that compassion. Is it people being heard, their stories being heard? Incredibly important in Botswana and in the UK. I think that's what we can really truly offer that's special as homeopaths, is that that sacred healing space for people.
Mm, and you've got some beautiful testimonials in the book of, I think, surveys that were done through the organization with the patients, and the patients tell their story of how healing it is for them to be able to have a space to speak. You've got some beautiful testimonials in here. I was just having a read through them, but so many of them that was just saying that, it was beautiful to be able to speak, and people felt really held and safe. And it's incredible. I was just going to see if I can pick one out here to read.
There was an amazing experience. We had a journalist come. A sympathetic journalist before homeopathy started to be really bashed, as it was in the UK. Mm. And he came and he was talking to a pastor who was part of the church, one of the churches that we were treating. And he said to her, "What's your experience of the homeopathy clinic?" And she said to him, "Homeopathy heals stigma." Mm. And I was really amazed, because no one had said that to me before. Mm. And she said, people don't feel shame. They have homeopathy and they don't feel shame. Mm. And I thought that was beautiful, actually. And I thought, oh, well, I've done that. That's enough.
That's amazing.
And I think that's not just the remedies again. That's also the acceptance, the listening and the non-judgment, here.
I've just quickly flicked and I found one here to read.
Okay.
One of the testimonials. Myself, I should say a little about homeopathy. They helped me a lot. And the thing that I like about it is that the way they are treating you, they are treating even emotionally. And that is what I like about homeopathy. It is not like at the clinic where the nurse will say, "How is your eye?" But yourself, the way you are questioning some people, they become open. Even myself, I became open and I was really treated. Even my soul was treated. That is why I like homeopathy. Yeah. They treat the whole being of a person, not only flesh. Thank you, homeopathy. That's such a sweet testimonial.
Yes, that's lovely, isn't it?
That's beautiful. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about the Moan project? And also, is there still a place where people can contribute to that? Or is that all in the hands of the local people now? Or is there still a way that that our listeners can financially contribute or volunteer if they want to?
It's a really good question. I made a very difficult decision in 2018 to pull out. Mm. I just felt I'd done 18 years. It was like I parented it, really.
Yeah, exactly.
It was now grown up and ready to be
made a little loose.
And I'm still in touch with the homeopaths. I mean, I closed down the charity. I stopped fundraising. If people want to, they could contact me and I could pass on funds to Irene and Lebo, who are practicing them. That would be lovely. But there isn't an official web charity anymore.
Mm.
Yeah.
What amazing work and what an amazing story. Now,
Thank you. You
have also got the River School of Homeopathy. Tell us a little bit about how it was started, what it does, who does it teach, who is it for?
Oh, thank you. So this happens a few years ago. So I've taught at various homeopathic colleges. And that's been great. And then I was approached by another female lecturer who said, "You know what? There should be a college run by women and with a real kind of female energy to it." And I thought, "Ooh, yes." And so a group of us got together and the River School of Homeopathy was born. So it's now run by my Well, mainly by Helen Johnson, my gorgeous colleague. I help in the running of it and teach at it. And it's based near Reading. And we have one intake at a time. So it's quite small in a way that we saw the first group 3 years group through, and they qualified, graduated last year. And we're now in our second group. But it's particularly special because it's, again, a very heart-centered course. And it's not just the head, it's the heart. So it's about, there's a strong spiritual component to the course, which I felt really comfortable with. I felt my training was fantastic, but it was very heady. Mm-hmm. And I think that can just produce lots of anxiety. I think if we have the groundings of the philosophy and the groundings of the Materia Medica, we can then, and trust ourselves, we can then get in touch with our intuition and develop the art of homeopathy as well as the science. And that's what the college is all about, producing really confident, inspired, connected homeopaths who can go out there and start practicing. So it's lovely. It's a beautiful college. Yeah.
And so it's all done in person?
Yes. It's all, well, during lockdown, some of it was done by Zoom, but it's all in person. There's a lot of meditative provings we do. We work through the chakras. That's the guide for the teaching. So Helen will teach the chakras, and then we look at the remedies associated with each chakra and the pathology around the chakras. Mm. So there's a nice coherence to it. Helen teaches that. I teach more the philosophy. I'm in love with Hahnemann. I love teaching the Organon. It's my passion. I just think he was absolutely incredible, Hahnemann. I still really honour him and think his teachings just still have so much to say to us about how we understand health and disease. Mm. And I also teach reflexive practice as well and repertorization. So it's a grounded course, but it also allows for the spirit. That's what I'd say about it.
It sounds really, really beautiful. I know the basics about chakras, but I heard something really interesting the other day in a Colin Griffith seminar, and we get taught Herring's Law of Cure. It heals from the top to the bottom. And then Colin Griffith said with the chakras, it will heal from the bottom to the top. And with chakras, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Like, I don't know. I've only just heard it. I was like, clearly this is something I need to learn more about. But I had a client the other day, and literally her path of healing was from the bottom. It was a case of eczema that started in the feet, and it just literally worked its way all up her body, and it's in the head. So fantastic. I'm guessing it's going out next, but I'm like, that's just not how we're classically taught. So clearly.
Well, there's a lot happens that I think the most important is law of cure is actually from inside out.
Inside out. Absolutely. Yeah.
But Colin Griffiths and Janice Micallef have been very important to me and Helen, because obviously they've run the Guild of Homeopathy. And I think our college is based on the principles of the Guild. And Janice Micallef in particular gives Helen and I a lot of support and supervision. So I'd really like to. Have you interviewed Janice?
I have not. I would love to. And I'm hoping to have Colin on next year, when I think he's wanting to get his next book out first and then come on the show after that. But I would love you if you can put me in touch too. Yeah.
Oh, Janice, because she's done the main meditative provings in Britain. And Colin writes the book, but Janice leads the meditation. So it's a fantastic partnership there. Yeah. They're very important to us.
Yeah, definitely. I love his new Materia Medica. I regularly use it in clinic. And it's just the Rainbow Remedy, his Rainbow Remedy Spectrum is actually my new favorite at the moment. And for the whole month of April, for any of my clients in my Facebook group, I was giving away a free little bottle of Rainbow for them to try out and test it out. And
I've taken it myself.
Have you? Yeah. And it sounds like it has so many possibilities. So I've said to my clients, like, you will get a free bottle this month. Whoever wants one, just put up your hand. And so I'm excited to hear some of the feedback of how this can be used, and especially it's used to clear effects of injections, vaccinations as well. So I'm especially excited to start hearing some feedback from that. And Then the other thing is that I've been doing Jill Turlin's Mega Potencies, and that she talks about how they can kind of get the cerebrospinal fluid going and it can realign the spine. And then this Rainbow Remedy is also about getting the cerebrospinal fluid going, opening the third ventricle of the brain so that the pituitary gland is bathed in the cerebrospinal fluid. And so I'm like just trying to play around a little bit with the Mega Potencies and Rainbow, and how can we get the energy flowing in the cerebrospinal fluid flowing and yes, all these fantastic other things outside of what we traditionally get taught that homeopathy can help with. So
I think it's lots of fun. Yeah, Colin and Janice have always worked closely with cranial osteopaths.
Because his son is a cranial osteopath, I think. Yeah, and yes. Maybe that's actually, yeah. Okay. Maybe that's where the connection is, because Jill Turlin's husband was an osteopath. And so that's how they could start palpating these differences before and after a remedy, where they could literally feel spinal adjustments being made by a remedy, which is something that I never thought is possible. So this
would it be incredible to have more integrative clinics where we're walking more in part with each other, not separate.
Absolutely, and we're
from
sharing ideas and bouncing ideas off each other. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I think there's so much in that, but we're all in our own little consulting rooms, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely.
I think that was the amazing thing about Botswana, actually, was the teamwork. I'd really missed it because I used to be a nurse. I love being a homeopath, but I missed the teamwork. Mm. And it was really, really strong teamwork in Botswana. And I think that was absolutely fantastic for me. I love that.
Mm. Yeah. I do think that is something that as a profession is going to help us get to the next level if we can find ways to work as teams. And I'm really excited to see that start happening. I've got five other homeopaths on my team, and we meet every Friday, and we had our meeting this morning, and it's like, it just fills up my cup to the brim every Friday when we meet up. And I feel like that gives me the energy to just keep going, like bouncing ideas, just being around like-minded people. And I said to you before we started recording that whenever I have a homeopath on the show, I just feel like I've always known them. This resonance because we know our philosophy or our way of thinking or looking at the world is going to be similar. There's going to be differences within that, but overall there's this overarching warm hug that is here ensconced, or what's the word? All of us. What's it? I can't think of the word now, but basically
I can't think of it either.
I'm sure ensconced is a word.
It's a good word.
Just cocoons all of us. Overarching feel. So Hilary, if people want to get hold of you and your beautiful, beautiful book, which I actually posted about it in my homeopathy hangout Facebook group, and I see there was a few of them that had already had the book, and Jonathan Stalick commented on there as well. And where can people get a copy of your book? Because it's such a good read. It's such a beautiful, the great homeopathic advice in there, it's a really nice read. And I actually really liked the way that you laid it out with just, you did the numbering and you said a remedy was given, da 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 da, and you keep going, but you number it. And then if you want to know what the remedy was, like you can actually, I really like the numbering in the back. So you don't lose the flow of the story. But if you wanted to know what the answer was, you can read it. And it's funny, my son and I were reading in bed together and he had this mystery book, a clues book. So you had to read and then you had to guess you had to choose which path you want to take. And then you had to look in the back to see whether the answer was right. So me and him were reading together, both flicking back and forth because I was flicking to the back of the book, wanting to read like the little flute note. And he was flicking to the back of his book, trying to see if the clue that he got was correct. That you did that because it meant that if you wanted you could just keep going and enjoy the flow of the story. But if you wanted to get into the nitty gritty, you can go to the notes in the back and actually see what was prescribed or what is the backstory of this. Or that was really cool. So I like the way that you did it.
Thank you.
Thank you for writing the book. How can people get hold of the book? How can they find out about the River School of Homeopathy? How can they engage with you?
Right. Well, I have a website, which is hilaryfairclough.com, really straightforward. And my email is info@hilaryfairclough.com.
So how can people get a copy of your book?
Well, just email me and I'll arrange to get one sent to you through Minerva Books in the UK. It's available on Amazon, but I think it's better to use an independent homeopathic
scan. I love that
so
as well.
So I can sort that out for you. Yeah.
Great. And the website is hilaryfairclough.com, but I'm just going to spell it out. It's going to be in the show notes, but it's H-I-L-A-R-Y. FairClough.com.
That's right.
Yeah, it's unusual spelling. Is there a final message, Hilary, that you want to leave our listeners with?
Oh, I think if you're a homeopath, just trust yourself, trust your heart, and you will, and listen, and you will get the remedies. Be confident, believe in yourself, especially new homeopaths. Mm. I really feel passionately about that, that we need to really trust the power and magic of homeopathy. And for any people who are listening or patients of homeopaths, great, keep going. It's just the most amazing medicine, can help throughout you. If it helps once, it will always help. Mm. That's what I really truly believe. And I've used homeopathy myself all my life and couldn't be without it. I love it.
Completely agree. It was lovely to connect with you. Thank you again for your beautiful book. And please keep in touch. And if you've got any other projects and things coming up, please let us know.
Will do. Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
It's a pleasure.